about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre in Elk City, Oklahoma. Hey, how about all this rain we've been getting? Let's check out some temperatures right now. 37 degrees at Slap Out, 46 at Alva, 40 at Cheyenne, 42 at Hollis, 52 at Hobart. Out here in the panhandle of Texas, we got 37 at Lipscomb, 38 at Canadian, 39 at Dozer, 41 at Wellington, and at Odell, the warm spot, 47 degrees down there across the Red River Bridge south of Altus. Some of these rainfall totals coming in pretty nice. Memphis, Texas, 4.47 inches of rain. Escaline is 3.37. Dozer's at 3.78. Miami is at over almost 2.25 inches, and then over here in Oklahoma we got 2 inches, a little over 2 inches at Beaver and Slap Out, inch at Buffalo, 1.62 at Arnett, 1.5 at Eric, 1.78 at Hollis, Elk City according to the mezzanets, 8 tenths, and we have 9300s here in the studio on our Gabe Gadget mezzanet center. Hobart, almost 3/4 of an inch, and Altus, almost an inch. So, anyway, good rains and more on the way, looks like. I checked the radar just now, and that train effect that's been going on out in the panhandle looks like it's starting to ease into western Oklahoma. So, anyway, we got more rain on the way. It was great. We'll take it all. All right, let's see what happened overnight real quick with some of the futures. I got Kent Watkins in here in the studio with me today from SEI Agritech, and we're going to be talking about soil health and talking about his new adventure he's having at his shop. So we'll talk about that later on in the show. Wheat and corn futures were higher in overnight trading as Argentina's new government reportedly moves to raise its export taxes on grains. Argentina's new government will propose increasing its export tax on some grains to 15%. Right now, the levy is at 12%. The South American country is tied as the sixth largest exporter of wheat in the world, according to the USDA. That move will be part of a broader package of economic measures designed to stabilize Argentina's economy. Let's see. Wheat futures for March delivery gained 6 cents to $6.11.25 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Kansas City added 2.75 to $6.34.75. Corn overnight for March delivery was up 2 cents to $4.81.5. Soybean futures for January delivery fell 2 cents to $13.05.5 a bushel. Soy meal was up 20 cents to $402.40 a short ton, while soy oil gained 0.35 cents to 50.18 cents a pound. Winter storm warnings remain in effect, and winter weather advisories have been issued for parts of the southern plains. According to the National Weather Service, another 2 to 4 inches of heavy snow on top of what has already fallen is expected in parts of eastern Colorado. Travel is not advised on that part of the state. In parts of southwestern Kansas and in counties in the Oklahoma and Texas panhandle, an inch or two of snow is expected to start this afternoon. And looking at some of those temperatures out there around Boise, we're all going the mezzanet, they're cooling off a little bit and probably last into the night. Nothing major going on. Kent and I were talking before the show. Good thing it wasn't all snow up there with this deal, because they were getting 2 and 3 inches of snow, so they'd had 20 to 30 inches of rain. I'm sorry. They'd had 20 or 30 inches of snow going on out there. Hobart, yesterday at the Hobart Stockyard. I got this going on here. Hang on. Get to the right file here. There we go. Looks like they had a decent sale. Looks like the 3 to 4 weight steers were bringing up to 320. Four to fives were bringing up to 285. Five to six weights were bringing up to 256. And the six to seven weights was bringing up, top end was 235. On the heifers, make sure I get on the right line here. Three to four weight heifers were bringing up to 280. Four to five weight heifers were bringing up to 255. Five to six weight heifers bringing up to 222.50. Six to seven weight heifers up to 207. Seven to eight weight heifers, $1.85. And looks like we had some slaughter cows were bringing up to $1.50. How about that? It must have been a really good one. Average though overall on the slaughter cows at Hover yesterday was 94, but top one sold for $1.50. Bulls were anywhere from 94 to 125. Looked like they had some bred cows that were bringing up to 1850 at the Hover stockyard yesterday. So anyway, just let me grab my page here. Quick reminder, tomorrow night at 5:30 at the Elk City Livestock Auction right here in Elk City, Oklahoma. Hang on with me. I should have had this page open up before I started the show, but I did see it in there. Their special female replacement sale will be tomorrow evening at 5:30. And this is the last sale of the year at Elk City coming up tomorrow. Anyway, you got any questions, you can call Brandon Hickey at 497-6095 to see what all's going to be in the special female replacement sale. I know Western Oklahoma Farm Credit is going to be providing a meal tomorrow evening, so go at least go get a free meal. Yeah, so anyway, so we get that going on. All right, what else we got? Let's just do a quick update on the markets currently right now. December corn, 456 unchanged. March is 480 up one. Soybeans for January, 1312 up five. March, 1331 also up five. Soybean meal, looks like it's not doing very good for December. 421.10 down $8.10. January's 404.50 up 230. Soybean oil is down about a half a penny to 49.82 for December. 49.37 down, same thing, 46 for January. Hard red winter wheat is taking a hit. December 6.26 down 24. March 6.34 up 2. I think somebody's playing with the market. So looking at those numbers, cotton not doing terrible today. They're in the red, but not by much. March cotton 81.01 down 17. May is 81.63 down 15. Sugar's rebounded. He's back. SugarDaddy.com is back in the cash flow today. He's a little over 22 cents a pound. West Texas Intermediate crude oil, January 72.27, up $2.80. Natural gas is up a little bit. It's at 234 for January. Live cattle for December's up 55 cents at 167.50. February is 167.97, up 75. Feeder cattle for January, 219.70, up $2.32. March is 220.40, up 255. April is 224.47, up 265. And May is 228.35, up 262. Lean hogs are down 77 cents for December at 67.15. February lean hogs, 70.47, up 375. April, 77.02, up 265. Well, today is Oklahoma Farm Bureau Happy Hour, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. It's Oklahoma's largest general farm organization with members in all 77 counties, represented by 77 county farm bureaus. Our work and efforts span all of agriculture as we work to ensure our state farmers and ranchers can focus on what they do best, growing and raising the most affordable, safe, and abundant food in the world. You can easily join Roger Mills Farm Bureau by going by their office in Cheyenne. Memberships are just $37.50 a year and come with many benefits like insurance, life insurance, free roadside assistance, and discounts with various businesses. 580-497-2579 or go to okfarmbureau.org to join. And they would appreciate it. Members of any organizations, OCA, Farm Bureau, all good organizations to be a member of, and you got to say so, and they know how to get to talk to the government and get things changed around or held in the same spot. We're going to go ahead and take a Oklahoma Farm Bureau break. When we come back, Kent Watkins will be on here. We're going to talk soil health, your fertilization plans for your wheat. And anyway, I might throw in a trick question or two in there with him. So anyway, and if you got any questions for Kent, text line is wide open, 580-225-9697. And if you got any questions, whether it's doing what we got to talk about or something with feed or something just you want to know about, maybe he can answer it. Not, we'll find you an answer. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Calling all rural residents of Western Oklahoma and the Texas Panhandle. Are you tired of hauling off your own trash? Call D&G Trash Hauling. They can have a dumpster delivered to you in no time. D&G offers weekly or bi-weekly pickup, four different size dumpsters, there's no contracts or hidden fees, and they have affordable rates. Your satisfaction is always top priority at D&G Trash Hauling. For more information, give them a call at 580-497-1234. That's 580-497-1234. Let D&G Trash get rid of your trash.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech, 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
Cattlemen's Congress in the heart of cattle country is far more than just a cattle show. See for yourself December 30th through January 11th at the fairgrounds in Oklahoma City. The newest and most elite genetics North American cattlemen have to offer will be there. Cattlemen's Congress is the gathering place of the cattle industry and provides sales of elite genetics. Something for every operation. And stop by on January 4th or 5th for a commercial cattlemen's luncheon from 11 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. For a full schedule, sale information, and everything you need to know, visit cattlemanscongress.com.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, December 11th. 944 head were sold. 18 head of steers at 448 brought 295. 9 at 468 brought 295. 8 at 593 brought 246. 5 at 627 brought 229. 11 at 723 brought 218. 8 at 756 brought 218. 11 at 960 brought 186. 6 head of heifers at 482 brought 217, 3 at 507 brought 229, 9 at 551 brought 214, 10 at 606 brought 215, 8 at 653 brought 218, 7 at 686 brought 205, 5 at 756 brought 197, butcher cows were 81 to 108, butcher bulls brought 87 to 116, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma, sale every Monday at 10 a.m., consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, welcome back. According to the Gabe Gadget Mesonet Center here in our studio, it's 44 degrees, 74% humidity, hardly any wind at all, and we've received 93/100ths of an inch here at the studio since it started raining yesterday morning. Out here in the panhandle, Dozer. I'm going to go with Dozer. 39 degrees, wind chills 32, the wind's out of the east at 11 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today, 19 miles an hour. So far, month-to-date precipitation, and it's all came in the last 2 days, 3.80 inches of rain, no red flag or sub-freezing minutes, 8-inch soil temperature, 47 degrees. How about that? Anyway, they got a pretty good shower out there. Okay, let's see here. Oh, yeah, I got a guest in the studio. Mr. Kent Watkins with SEI Agritech is in the studio with me. Welcome back, sir.
Thank you, sir, for having me.
Oh, always a pleasure to have you. By the way, we are live on 96.5 KECO, 100.1 KWFX out of Woodward. We're live on Facebook. We're live on KECOFM.com. And if you're out of the area and you want to hear the show live, you got to listen to it live on Paragon, our free Paragon app. You can Paragon Communications app, that is, that you can download free on your phone and listen to it anytime. Well, how about this rain?
I love it. It's
it was timely too.
It was timely, pretty timely.
Yeah,
we're going to go into the heart of winter with some sub moisture and some moisture on the root systems, everything growing, so we won't have, unless it gets turns around and goes the other way really hard, we won't have any winter kill this year.
Well, they you know, I know it's winter and it's not the heat of the summer. There's a lot of water standing around in the fields right now.
Yeah, but I bet it'll go away pretty quickly.
The only place I have noticed there's no water standing is where I no-till.
Right.
That's, I'm not kidding. Yeah. There's no water standing in the fields where I no-till.
Well, it all went in.
It all went in. And then you drive down some of the fields where, and I'm not picking on these guys. I'm just giving my point of view that I'm seeing. And I'm sorry if you think I'm picking on you because you till. I'm not. That's your business. But there's water standing in some of those fields that are till, but there's a lot of water standing in the grass, which is great.
Yep. It sure is. It's a nice change from what we've dealt with for the last two or three winters.
And the wind ain't going to blow 100 mile an hour out of the north and get cold after this thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like we got 50s and 60s all next week.
Yeah, it looks like next week's going to be pretty nice. It really does.
Well, speaking of soil health,
okay,
let's go over the five pillars.
That's where we always start.
Yep.
So the first one for us on the Southern Plains is armor on the soil, and you got to keep it covered up to stop the blow, slow down rainfall. And to help feed the microbes. Second one is low disturbance, so that means park the tillage equipment and start using cover crops for your tillage. Third one would be diversity in plant life, so that's a multi-species cover crop at some time during the year. And if you're a cattle guy or grazing or rolling up for hay, that's easy. You can do that in the summer. You can do it in the winter as well, but summer's easy. If you're a cotton guy, you obviously don't want multi-species out there in your cotton, but you do have an off time of year, which is now, and most everybody plants wheat or rye or triticale or something to keep their cotton ground from blowing. You can add the tillage radish and or the hairy vetch to that, and they're not going to bother you next spring when it's time to kill that stuff to go back to cotton, because truth is they use so much hormone type herbicides like dicamba or 2,4-D or one of those, that nothing's going to survive that anyway to interfere with their cotton plant. And then the next one is keep a living root in the soil as many days out of the year as possible, because you remember the object of the game from that aspect of it is to feed the microbes as many days out of the year as possible, and they get fed off the tip ends of those fine hair roots. That's how they survive through the winter. Now they do slow down in the winter like everything else, but they still have to have something. So, and then the last one is livestock where it fits. If you have water, and if you're not a livestock guy, I bet you know somebody who is.
Right.
And with cattle prices the way they are right now, it would be, if you have water on the place, it would be easy to do.
Plus a fence.
Yeah, you kind of need a fence. Some of these don't, and some of these cotton fields don't, but, you know, there's been plenty of hot wire miles put up over the years, and it can still be done. So
It
just depends on if a guy wants to or not.
Well, and then I've been hearing anywhere from 80, 85 to 90, 95 cents.
Yeah, I haven't heard. I haven't heard that. I haven't heard a price on that this year. I didn't know. But 80, yeah, it'd probably be about right.
80 to 95 cents on the gain, depending on which deal you work out, where they provide the hay or you provide the hay. But that's a pretty good chunk of money.
Yeah, it could be. And if you're taking care of them, right. You know, and you don't have just a severe, bitter cold winter.
I'd go with the 400 to 500 pounders on my wheat versus the 7 to 8. You might make a little more money on the gain part.
You might. Yeah,
before we get deep into our fertilization, I got a couple of cover crop questions to ask you.
Okay.
And I already kind of semi measured them up. I get these reports every day until it just my brain is just like a tornado, is twisting what to talk about. But I know everybody out here, whether they no-till or they strip-till or they're conventional, they want to hear stuff like this. And like I said, I'm not picking on the tillage people. I'm not doing that. That's not my job. My job is to throw stuff at you that I hear good about the other ways, okay? And anyway, so one of these reports that I found is, you and I have never talked about, I never thought about it till I seen it, the amount of money you save on fuel by no-tilling.
Oh, absolutely.
So this is an official report. And it comes from the USDA's Conservation Effects Assessment Project that they've been going on. They call it the SIP. Anyway, they figured up that you can, by no-tilling, you could save 3.6 gallons minimum per acre on fuel.
I don't know those numbers, but I would tend to agree with that.
Yeah, and then $17 an acre per year. That doesn't sound like much.
Do it over 1,000 acres.
Yeah, what's that?
17,000.
You got her. So anyway, and they, you know, it also says in this deal that they've done, it said it has a potential to reduce nationwide fuel use on the farms for diesel, 763 million gallons.
That's significant, I would say.
Yeah. And then the next report I got to you for cover crops is there's been studies, especially in the Midwest and some of it. And anyway, cover crops seem to stabilize the soil, reduce fertilizer runoff, and store carbon in the plant roots. And it says potentially add nutrients to the dirt. Well, what you've been helping with me on some of my land the last 3 years, it is not, there's no potential there. It's there. And I was really surprised on some of that ground that I planted Truticale on. I didn't have to fertilize.
Nothing.
I didn't have to do nothing. That's how good the soil is doing. And guess what? That's money in my pocket.
That's right.
Or that's money I don't have to go borrow or
that's
whatever.
Right.
So anyway, what do you say to these, some of these people they found in this report said that, you know, they basically, from what I'm reading from a couple of the guys they interviewed in this cover crop deal, is I'm not saying they're lazy, they just didn't want to do it.
Well, they're probably, is these people out of the Midwest?
Yes.
Okay, so they're probably corn and beans or beans and corn.
Right.
That's all they do.
Right.
And that means you got to drag the drill back out whenever you get your beans and corn off and plant a cover crop. Now, I will say there is a lot more acceptance to cover crops in the Midwest in the last 2 years than there was before.
And that report said that.
Yeah, a lot more, because they're seeing the advantages of it. Just in respect of what commercial fertilizer is costing. So in the old days, before this cover crop hit the countryside, you know, they would, on their corn ground, they would put 300 to 500 pounds of anhydrous down. And some years it didn't even pencil out when they started, but they did it anyway. And I know that in a large area up there that happened. And now they're not having to do that. And yes, their yields may not be quite as good as they were, but their net bottom line dollars are better.
Yep.
Because they don't spend the money on the commercial fertilizers. Plus the added benefit that you really don't see, but if you're looking, you can see, and that's the adverse effect that anhydrous has on soil microbes and what it does to the soil pH and everything else going on in the soil.
Right.
So there's added benefit to that that just driving by you don't see it, but you can if you look at a soil report.
Well, I've been pretty impressed. I've drove down through Altus and back down there or around Benson towards Hollis a couple times in the last 6 months, and I'm pretty impressed with the amount of no-till that's going on down in there now.
You know, before the cover crops came along, the no-till chemical fallow thing was just about ready to fail because of the chemical resistance that the weeds were. They're going around all the chemistries that we had to kill off the weeds in the summer. The cover crop thing came along for the southern plains, came along just in time, because it's a lot easier to kill a summer cover crop to get ready to go to the fall, and a lot easier to kill a winter cover crop to go to spring than it is to kill giant ragweed and mare's tail and all the buffalo burr and all those hard to control weeds that were becoming invasive, plus all the grasses that were becoming invasive. That some of those grasses, like prairie cup grass, is a good example that everybody will know about. You know, Roundup won't touch it. So now you're limited to a true ALS inhibitor type herbicide. Well, that's all right if you're going into the spring with cotton, but it don't work if you're going into the spring with milo or corn. And it sure won't work very well if you're going into the fall with wheat or triticale or any of the small grains, because they're all susceptible to those. So the cover crop thing, the plant diversity in that has saved the planting industry here on the southern plains single-handedly. The cover crops did single-handedly, without a doubt.
Well, and then now you have the government, the NRCS in particular, you know, they got programs that they'll actually assist and pay you to put in cover crops, and will actually pay you to do no-till. The deadline's already passed for this year, but you got next year to look for, I think. Check with your local NRCS to be sure.
Yes.
But I think sign-up was December 1st. Yep. But anyway, there's, you know, that helps out a lot.
No, it pays for it.
Yeah.
No sweat. I mean, it's easy. And, you know, getting paid for something you're doing already anyway,
yeah,
it's just a bonus.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the way I looked at that deal. I mean, I don't, you know, whether you qualify. Got a question for you before we go to our break. Opinion on seeding or drilling turnips in with the wheat for winter pasture? Yes or no, or is there something better?
Turnips are fine, in my opinion, and they should. You can put them in there. They don't do a lot for to break up the soil, because most of that bulk is kind of on top of the soil. The dicot radish would be better for that.
Yes.
But a quarter of a pound of turnip seed will go a long ways. and I mean, they're great. They're fine.
Yeah.
Because they're going to recycle phosphorus back to the surface for you.
Right.
So from a recycling standpoint, they're fine. For trying to break up a hard pan, they're not great. The tillage radish would be better, or the dicot radish would be better.
Yeah, the radishes, I planted them 3 or 4 years ago down there in the bottom below my landlord's house. I haven't done that since because the second freeze we got, she got the smelling around here.
Yeah, whenever we do finally get that killing freeze, it'll smell like sulfur.
Yeah, so is it too late for that this year, though?
Yes, you're way too late now.
Yeah.
They typically will not make it through the winter at being that small.
Okay. Does people use turnips and radishes during the spring for their summer crops?
You really no.
Will it do any good?
No, because you're way past the longest day, and planted that late, they're just going to bolt and go to seed. They're not going to give you the tuber that you're looking for.
So
you're looking
fall's only.
That's a fall planted deal, and you'd be a lot better off to have it done by November 1st than after November 1st.
Right, and then you got you all stocked up for the spring cover crops?
Yeah, pretty much. We're talking to seed people now and getting everything, you know, kind of spoken for. I think this year will be a lot better supply of seed than we've had in the last 3 years. So some of the pressure should come off that.
But still, you don't want to wait till the last
minute. No, you don't want to wait till the last minute. But, I mean, it's not going to be like, you know, like it has been, where, you know, you're scratching for every single pound of seed out there. I think that's coming to an end.
I seen an article in Ag Daily where they said clover seed, the red and white, I guess, there's going to be a major shortage on that. Are you hearing or
seeing
that?
Yeah, there is. But that's not something we're going to use here in very many places in the southern plains. Our climate is just way too harsh
for it.
The white won't work here at all. The red is kind of Russian roulette. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't.
I got you.
You know, so that's not something we're going to have to really deal with here.
All right. All right, we're going to take an Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
We feel like we want to be good stewards of our depositors' money. It's what keeps Community Bank going for as long as it has. This bank's seen it all. Starting 1901, you've seen a few droughts. You've seen some market crashes. Oil and gas come and go a few different times, you know, from the 50s to the 80s to the 20-teens. And we're here. We never sit there and go, oh, man, I hope our doors are going to be open tomorrow. We're going to be there. There's no doubt in my mind. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, looks like the rain for, like, down in this area is moving into Beckham County. It's over Sayre, not too far from Elk. Maybe raining all afternoon long. Here's your ag weather update for Sealy, Oklahoma. Currently it's 44, feels like 41. Dew point's 39, humidity's 83, the winds are out of the east, northeast at 4 miles an hour. 24-hour rainfall, 0.23 inches. 10-day rainfall, 0.44 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 43 degrees. Fractional water, 1-day average 10-inch, 0.9. Sunset at 5:22 today. 50% chance of rain showers, 50 for a high. Tonight, 90% chance of rain, 39 for a low. Tomorrow, 80% chance of rain and 44 for a high. So just a wet, gloomy forecast, but we'll take it. All right, Mr. Watkins, we had a question off the studio text line, off the Today and Ag text line. Here's your question. I was told not to plant turnips because calves can actually choke on the turnips if they pull them out of the ground. Radishes are better and safer.
Okay, so I've heard that all my life, and I've seen it one time. And it's, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen to a cow.
Yeah.
Not a calf, typically a cow. But if you have plenty out there for them to eat, it's not going to happen at all.
Right.
But I've heard that forever.
Right.
And I'm sure that it's happened, you know, more than the one time I saw it, and that was in 1978. Because I was working for Gail Ann's Paul at the vet clinic, and that found the cow dead. She had suffocated. Cut her open. There's what we found.
Gotcha. But
one time in 45 years. So I guess it can happen. It's not typically going to happen.
Yeah, because the bovines are the most curious animals in the world.
Yeah.
And if there's something to get in trouble with in the pasture,
they will.
They'll find it.
Yeah.
Will. Like hedge apples.
Yeah. Or a battery.
Yep. Or lick on a, what was that deal over there, Joey's? They're licking on a pipe dope bucket.
Oh, boy.
That wasn't good.
No, I wouldn't think.
No, nope. So, I mean, there's all, keep your pastures clean. Don't have to worry about it. It's hard to do, though.
Yep.
Anyways, all right, what's our next subject?
Well, okay, so I wanted to talk about fertilization on small grains. So it's wheat, rye, triticale, barley, oats. But I'm just going to use wheat as a general overall.
Okay.
So, as everybody, you don't need to be an MIT graduate to know that everybody got a late start this year because of lack of rainfall on getting anything in. But it's in for the most part now. Going to be very little fall grazing to be had. The guys who rolled the dice and went ahead and planted in September, they're in better shape for that. But nevertheless, here we have what we have. So when we talk about NPK is what I'm going to talk about, requirements. And let's say that the typical guy who uses their wheat as a dual purpose product, so they're going to graze it until, let's say, mid-February. Pick your date. I don't care.
The 10th.
Yeah. Absolutely. It has to be off by the 10th. And then they're going to fence off, pull them off, and typically top dress at that point. And then go let it grow and go on to either roll it up for hay in April or go on to grain production. So let's assume we're going to go on to grain production in June. Okay, so just be aware that for every 100 pounds of beef that you pulled off that acre, so let's say you went in with 5 weights and you come out with 7 weights, for those 200 pounds, for every 100 pounds of beef, it took 30 pounds of nitrogen to produce that.
Okay.
So, and that's a general
30 pounds per 100 weight?
30 pounds per 100 weight. Okay. So if you pulled 200 pounds,
that's 60 pounds.
That's 60, yeah. You have to top dress back 60 pounds of nitrogen just to be even with where you started and what the plant requirements are going forward.
Okay.
So then you have to think about phosphorus. That would be better placed with the drill than broadcast. That's really not a good practice, especially no-till. And then on potash, shoot for 300 parts per million on your soil report, total K. You can apply that now, the K, because it takes a while to break down anyway, and it is semi-mobile. So by the time you, if you were to apply it in December or early January, by the time your wheat broke dormancy in mid to late February, you would have some time to get some K available to the plant, and it needs K to be able to bulk up.
Right.
Okay. So look at, if you pulled 200 pounds of beef off, then you need to apply 60 pounds of N. So when you think about that, that's roughly 150 pounds of urea. Typically, people make that shot in mid-February to early March. That is way too late for urea because it takes too long for it to break down and get usable. And that's why in years, you know, in the past, that's why when people do that, they wind up growing 70 bushel straw and still 25 bushel wheat. Their nitrogen didn't do them any good for what they were trying to do, and now it's too expensive to waste.
Right.
So be mindful of the product that you're using. If you're going to use urea, I would recommend that you blend that with ammonium sulfate so that that ammonium part is readily available. All it has to do is get rained into the ground. The wheat can pick it up. It'll have everything to go right off the bat.
So what would you say in mid-February to March is a little late? Can you go ahead and do it in January?
You can. You have to be careful about that. If you're grazing, you have to be careful about it because of the nitrate nitrogen.
Right.
So time that to a precipitation event, whether it's snow, ice, rain, doesn't matter. But just try to time that to a precipitation event. And then be very mindful about where you're loading the truck or the spreader so that you don't have a little pile of nitrogen out there. I promise you the cows are going to find it, and the next morning you're going to have dead cows laying right there, and that's going to be why, because right. I have seen that more than once. I get the pushback because of the cost, but if you're not putting that 60 pounds back, and assuming you got 200 pounds of beef off, if you're not putting that 60 pounds of N back, that means that plant is mining the soil for the difference. So did you have it in the soil to begin with, or did you not? So there's some considerations there to make, but that's just the hard numbers.
And leaf samples help out you a little bit on that too?
Yeah, you ought to, I'm going to go over that with the high yield wheat. But yeah, a guy really needs to see where he is. Because in the old days, before fertilizers got really expensive, everybody fixed their problem with another 100 pounds of urea. And you may have not fixed anything. You may just mask it with another 100 pounds of urea, where a $5 shot of a micronutrient might have fixed the problem instead of a $25 shot of urea.
Okay. Well, let's go ahead and take our last break. And when we come, our last Oklahoma Farm Bureau break, brought to you by the Roger Mills County Farm Bureau. We get back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden ag weather forecast for some town in southwestern Oklahoma. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts. From gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom bats, Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Well, I'll use myself as an example. I go in there, I need oil filters for my tractor or something like that. I'll get the oil filter, whatever I need. Any greases for lubing everything up. If I need some electrical fittings or any type of nuts and bolts to fix something that's broke, I can get it there. Any penetrating oils, I mean, just anything that you need, we can get, we have, or we're going to get for you for any type of agriculture or oil field or just working on something around the house, whatever you need. The other three owners, myself, Ronnie Red, Casey Miller, Brock Kalk, we're all local guys, been here almost all of our lives. We put back into the community. We love Elk City. When you buy through us, you're buying from somebody that's putting it back into the community instead of going to some big corporate office somewhere out of state. We invest back in the schools. We sponsor stuff all the time, different sports and just whatever. Camrock is the name of the company. We've got what you need for your agriculture or oil field industry, whatever you need. It's 2111 South Main, Elk City, south of Fred's Steakhouse. Three local guys just looking to do business with our community.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call, 806-665-0677.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The pasture range and forage rainfall insurance program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Ensure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, just a friendly reminder, tomorrow on my show, starting in the third segment, approximately around 12:30, I'm going to have Miss Shelly Nutt on here from the Texas Peanut Board, and it's going to be fun. We're going to hear about what's going on with peanuts in Texas, how their 23 crop was, and I'm telling you, it's going to be a fun show because she sounds like she's a hoot to be around. So anyway, we're going to have a little fun with that tomorrow. So that'll be tomorrow. And then Monday, I'll have Andrew Hill on. We're going to be talking about hut houses and for growing vegetables and gardens and stuff in. Pretty cool. It's going to be fun to have Andrew on here Monday. So just a friendly reminder. All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag Weather Update. Eric, Oklahoma, 42. Humidity is 91, dew point is 39. Winds are out of the east southeast at 3 miles an hour. 24 hour rainfall, 0.3 inches, 0.30. The 10 day average rain, which most of it was yesterday, 1.54 inches of rain. 3 day, 4 inch bare soil temperature, 44. 1 day average 10 inch fractional water, 0.8. Sunsets at 5:28, and rains likely today, 80%. Looks like it's raining there now. 46 for a high, 100% chance of rain tonight, 40 for low, and 60% chance of rain tomorrow, 47 high. In the studio with me is Mr. Kent Watkins from SEI Agritech right here in Elk City. And we were talking about fertilization with your crops that you're grazing. Now we're going to switch over into how much wheat do you want to make?
Right. So let's talk about high yield wheat for a minute. A couple of things that people should understand and realize. The first one is this: the very best yield that wheat crop is gonna make is determined in the first 45 days of that plant's life. There's very little you're gonna do after that that's gonna affect that yield, that maximum yield, more than maybe 10%. There's a lot of things that can happen from the day you plant until the day you harvest, that can take away from that maximum yield. Some things you can control, some things you can't, like rainfall, hailstorm, whatever. But the very maximum yield is determined in the first 45 days.
Okay.
Okay. Pick your variety. It doesn't matter. They're all good. They're all really good, because if they're not, they're not going to be commercially available. They'll all do more than 300 bushel. They have the genetic potential and ability to do more than 300 bushel per acre.
Yeah.
All of them. Or they don't make it.
Right.
That's the stakes that they play with now. So with that in mind, if you're a dryland wheat farmer, and I'm not talking about last year or the year before, just in general, in my mind, you should be shooting for 100 bushel wheat crop, dryland, not irrigated. Irrigated, you should be shooting for closer to 200.
Right.
But we'll talk about dryland because that's the vast majority of it. It can be done. I did 92, 96, and 96, 3 years at Hydro 20 years ago with Custer variety and Jagger. Those were the two varieties we really had that was popular. That's what we used. We did it affordably, and that was back in the days when wheat was worth $210 to $250, and they were collecting an LDP payment. And the guy still made money with it. Now, he didn't make a lot of money with it because there wasn't a lot of money to be made in wheat in those days. But if you're content to make 30 bushel wheat at $650 a bushel, that's $180 or so. That's just my cowboy math off the top of my head.
Right.
A big whoop. You're going to make maybe $30. If you do 100 bushel, your inputs are literally not much more, because most of the things that you're short in is going to be micronutrients, and you can address that pretty cheaply. So then you're grossing on that 100 bushels at $650 is $650. And I'm not saying go out and do 10,000 acres this way, but what I am saying is start with one field.
Figure it out.
Figure it out as you go. Pull the soil sample, see where you're at. You will need to pull leaf samples and send them in every week, and then whatever you're short in, apply that. You know, if you're short in boron, that doesn't mean apply it 3 weeks from now. That means apply it when you get the report back. So if you pull a sample on Saturday or Sunday, and you get it in the mail on Monday, you'll have results back sometime in that week, and you'll know on that leaf sample what you're short in. Go apply it, and do that every week up until flag leaf. Make your last shot with whatever you might need to do micronutrient-wise, and then give it a shot of fungicide for leaf rust.
Right.
Leaf rust is one of the biggest things out there that takes yield away that we have going. And it's now, with the fungicides as good as they are and as cheap as they are, it's an easy shot to make. It's very affordable, and it's probably money well spent. I know it's money well spent.
Right.
It really is.
Yeah.
So.
What in the first 45 days can you do to make sure to ensure you got that going?
Okay, so in the first 45 days, get your soil samples, take them to a good lab. I'd recommend
before you even plant,
get your soil samples, know what you got, know where you're starting. You should be doing that anyway with the cost of fertility now.
Right.
And know where you're starting, know what you're short in, and get that applied.
Yeah.
And typically it's not loading up with nitrogen. It's just not.
Right.
People have done that over the years, but we know a lot more about it now than we used to. And if you know better, at least you have an opportunity to do better.
Well, and also not a week before you plant, because if you're needing P and K, that needs to be applied long before you even think about planting.
The phosphorus you could do off the drill, that would in the row, that would be best. But the N and the K, the potash part, that really needs to be done a little bit ahead of time or soon thereafter.
Right.
It really does.
So chicks in good. Well, cool. Well, anyway, that was good timing, Kent. We didn't stay our welcome too long like we did last time.
There you go.
Anyway, but what do you got going on down at the SEI?
Okay, so we've started a new little venture, and I've been selling Livestock Nutrition Center feed for 3 years now. They have closed their mill and their blending facility at Altus. You can still pick up feed there, but they don't do any milling or blending. They have moved all that to Quanah, Texas.
Okay.
And they have several lines going down there. But for us here, it made it inconvenient. So I have contracted with them to do their blending here for their feed rations to their specs. We're going to do it there. And if a guy has his own special blend that he wants, we can do that as well.
Awesome. So, you guys need any of that done? SEI Agritech right here on Randall, easy to find on South Randall here in Elk City. Or just call them at, what's the number there?
580-225-0317.
All right. Thanks for coming in today, Kent.
Thank you.
See you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
We're like the software on your computer, helping you get the job done.
96.5 KECO, Elk City.
They're not done yet. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News. A possible deal on border security remains under negotiation.